Okay, it's now 6:30, so why don't we get started? Welcome, everyone. We have still a number of architecture reviews to go through today in this overflow session. So why don't we dive in and get going? I'm hoping this won't take the full 2 hours, but I blocked it out just in case. Why don't we start today with OOF?
Hey, Chris, can I start sharing my screen?
Please.
All right. Can you see it?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So as you all know, OOF was an approved project in R1, but we chose to be a part of Beijing release because we were approved late into the day in R1. So this is really the first time our project is being onboarded. So basically, just wanted to give a brief preview of what the project is about, how does it look like today, and then move into the S3 piece. So basically, optimization framework provides a declarative policy-driven framework that allows creating and running a variety of optimization applications that is needed by on-app platform, things like homing and placement, change management, scheduling, and so on. So in terms of how it looks like underneath the hood, there are two sub-projects or repos in R2. Or OOF. The first is the optimization design framework, which gives you the libraries and the support infrastructure that is needed to run a new optimization application. In order to sort of highlight how well this framework works, we use a sample change management schedule optimizer, which completely resides within the framework itself. So it basically leverages all the tools provided by the framework and resides within the framework and, you know, shows how this can be done for newer optimization. The other repo is basically the homing and allocation service, which is a custom optimizer that does something very special. So this also shows that OSDF can work with custom optimizers as well, which shows the extensibility of how the framework can be used to do things. So as a part of R2, we are providing primarily homing as a service to ONAP, and as a part of which, we target the VCP use case along with the HPA functionality. So in some sense, given a set of hardware requirements and bunch of policies that needs to be met when you make a placement, the homing and allocation service would go to NAI, get the different information, multi-cloud and so on, and then try to do the matchmaking between a bunch of VNFs that need to be placed and the corresponding optimal locations for it them to be placed. So the dependency in terms of other projects in ONAP are basically ANAI, multi-cloud. We also depend upon music like we discussed yesterday. And we also use MSB along with OOM integration for stitching the two repos up together for them to be able to communicate. The two APIs that we provide currently are the homing API, which is going to be used by service orchestrator during the homing workflows as a part of the service instantiation process. The other is basically the sample application that I mentioned, which is a change management scheduler, which is going to be used by a CM simulator, which is like, you know, an example application on how you could use OSD. So that's basically the how the project looks like now. So moving on to S3 piece, we agreed to meet all the minimum target levels that is needed by R2. We have Jiras and user stories created for each of those dimensions. So in terms of performance, we, as an optimization, engine, one of the key metrics is how quickly or how fast does a solution be arrived at. So we measure this and record this through the log. So that's one part of it. And since we are a data-dependent system, we also look at the response time for the various entities from which we get the data, including the policy engine, the multi-cloud ANAI, and so on. All our logs are clearly ELF logging compliant. The homing and allocation service uses Oslo log, which is like one unified log system across all the different pieces of the project, but it's ELF compliant as well. So in terms of the stability, we are still working on creating the testing environment. So that's still work in progress. With respect to resiliency, we leverage techniques provided by OOM and Kubernetes for restart and recovery. Though one thing that I wanted to mention was that both the repos, the OSDF and HAS, are completely stateless in some sense. We do cache some state in memory, but even if that state is lost, it can be very easily rebuilt on the fly. So in some sense, we are resilient and we can leverage whatever OM provides for the containers to be restarted whenever things go bad. So the HAS is basically provides more than just single site resiliency. It can actually run a completely active resilient mode across multiple geographically distributed sites. But clearly, we're not going to leverage that in R2. But R3, I think this will just naturally fall in place. In terms of the security updates, we are still working on the CIA badging. We had been trying to prioritize code coverage because we are a new project and we wanted to get closer to the code coverage as possible. One of the repos, the OSDF repo, has reached about 67%. HAS is around 31% as of today. And we plan to meet the 50% target by M4. We have also cleared all the security and licensing issues, the critical ones. They have been cleared and we don't have any outstanding issues as now. For the scalability, we plan to use the features of Kubernetes, as most other projects also do. And like I said, the HAS application can run in an active mode across multiple sites, so it's completely scalable independently. We also have documentation, which includes the deployment guide, user guides, and API documentation. They are in the Markdown format, so we are still currently working on converting them into the RST format so that they can be moved up into read the docs. So I think that was the summary of the S3P update from our end. In terms of the information and data model alignments, we depend on, so optimization in general is completely data driven in some sense. So we depend on the service and resource information models from ANAI, the HPA and capability information model, again coming in from ANAI but exported by multi-cloud. We also depend on the policy models, which are the constraints by which the optimization would work. So we depend upon the policy and in some sense STC indirectly. We also use the infrastructure metrics information model, which is the aggregated capacity that is provided by multi-cloud. So in terms of the exported API, we provide two APIs. As we saw earlier, one would be the homing API for the service orchestrator to be used during the service instantiation workflows. And the other would be the change management scheduling API, which is used by the simulator at this point, but going forward, it'll be integrated with the change management. So I think that was pretty much what I had. The two things that we added since M1, because Music was approved as a project at the last minute, we didn't really include it at that point. We were thinking of using Music as a library. But given that it's an approved project now, we will be using the Music REST API interface. And we'll also be using MSB for discovering the endpoints. But those are the only two things that we have changed since M1. And with that, any questions?
Shankar, just one quick question. Can you flash up your APIs just from whatever format you have it?
Sure.
Great. Just one second.
Can you see it?
Yes.
Okay.
Great. And you said you'd have this on Read the Docs by the end of the release?
Yes, we will have it in Read the Docs by the end of the release.
Perfect.
So we have two APIs, the homing API and the CM API. Both of them are pretty much complete now.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Great. Thank you. Any other questions? Great. Thank you, Shankar.
Thank you.
Next up is policy.
Hey, Chris.
Hi, Pam.
Hi there. All right. Okay, hopefully everybody can see my screen.
Yes.
Great. Okay, so as far as Delta from R1, we don't have any major changes. We felt like Beijing, the platform maturity was most of the work that we were going to have to do with the resources that we had. Obviously, for the use cases such as vFirewall, vDNS, et cetera, we're going to maintain that backward compatibility to that as best as possible. The only other use case that we have some extra functionality coming in is for the HPA, as Shankar just mentioned, with OOF. And so that's the extra functionality that's going on with that. So we're still right in line with the architecture, mainly making improvements. For the platform maturity, we've been heavily involved in the security part of it. We've met our code coverage already for all of our repos. We've done the majority of the work on our CLM. We still are cleaning up a few minor issues here, as noted into this template. The majority of the problems that we have are from our inclusion of the ONAP portal SDK, and so we expect all those CLM issues to disappear when they subsequently, you know, fix the fixes for them. Otherwise, I suspect we would be covered by any exception process from them. And then we have a lingering one from the MSB project too, which I'm sure everybody has. For our best practices, there's only two items there that we haven't checked met yet, and one of them is what I just talked about, because we're trying to put that plan in place here for the security vulnerabilities. The other one was, I'm not sure what to put. I guess there's some debate about that as to whether or not you can pull HTTPS. So, I mean, obviously we can, but it's just a matter of how is that done? Where do the certificates come from? How do we configure our images and things like that? And so that might be why we've decided to not put that as met yet, although it's not going to be something that we can't possibly do. It's just how do we integrate with ensuring that that's done? And I don't think that there's a clear plan yet for that, but we could take that offline with the security subcommittee for that. For manageability, we're in pretty good shape for that. We get instantiated less than an hour. We have a lot of logging already done, but what we're doing is we're taking a look at the logging project and determining how in line we are with them, and we're reorganizing our log files so that they're a little easier to find. The scalability and resiliency is where we've spent a lot of time on. And we're pretty close to a solution for that. And that's why I have that as work in progress. Hopefully by the end of this week into next week, we have a clear picture on how we're going to support that. We've done some Docker image redesign, which is a step towards that, but we'll have to do a little bit more of understanding with OOM and MSB, who've been very great to work with us on this. And we hope to have that figured out. For usability, we're in pretty good shape for that from Amsterdam. What we have done is we've gone back to our picture for our Beijing architecture. It was a little out of date, and so we went back in, we recreated some of the pictures for it. So we have a more accurate picture of how the current architecture for policy is looking like, and so we've updated that in the overall wiki, and then we'll reflect that back into our read the docs when we finish all that. The last item, performance and stability. Now we haven't done work yet on that, but I'm not panicking on that. I think mainly that's soak testing and performance testing, and that we didn't prioritize that. We prioritized the other ones because that's what Jason Hunt put down as the highest priority ones. These are more of a low priority. And so we'll get to these over the next few weeks. And I think those will be achievable by the M4 deadline. as far as information data model alignment, at the moment, we're not really doing a lot of service specific, VNF specific policies in that realm. So we haven't had a need to align with that. We're certainly paying attention to what's going on in the modeling subcommittee. We are working with Kevin Skaggs and Andy Mayer and the modeling team on the side, determine what the policies should look like underneath those service and resource models. So there's some parallel effort going on with that. And we expect in the future, as SDC project evolves, that we're going to have a little tighter integration with them. Possibly starting in Casablanca. We'll just have to see how resources pan out for that. As far as API updates, I'm not planning on changing the current policy API. We're just doing bug fixes for teams such as DCAE and CLAMP. The link to our API is here, out on the site right here. And you could see it's not very, very resource RESTful-like, but we're not going to change it for the moment. What we prefer to do is go back to the drawing board on it, and we're currently redesigning our APIs so they're a little more model-centric and to further improve the platform. And so that effort I presented I had a presentation on that back in Santa Clara as to what the idea is and where we're going along, and now we're working with Ericsson to really nail down the APIs going forward. And we'll take that for review with the DCAE CLAMP teams and, of course, the architecture teams when we feel that we've got where we want on our APIs. And we expect to start doing that work in Casablanca, Dublin. And once we have something out there, we'll schedule for deprecation the old API. That's all I have, Chris. Any questions?
Great. Thank you, Pam. Any questions from the team? That looks pretty good. Just one comment. You asked about certificates, and AAF is providing that. So, you know, if you want to start up, if you are doing HTTPS and you want to start up with toy certificates, and then look to AAF for real ones.
Well, yeah, I understand that, but we've been kind of following along with Jimmy Forsyth of the ANAI team, who's been pushing that, and I don't think he's yet to have a clear plan from AAF yet either. So,
okay, yeah, that's what the security team has been directing. So,
If Jimmy comes up with a solution, we'll know better on our end too, because it would probably be pretty close to the same. But as far as I know, even from yesterday, I was in an email with Jimmy, and there's just still not enough detail being provided by the AAF team. So,
okay, sounds good. Let's raise that with Steve. He is actually hosting the security meeting as we speak. He'll be joining in about 15 minutes. But why don't we raise this collectively as an open item for the security team, and we'll see if we can get closure.
Yeah, cool. Thank you.
Great.
Anything else? One question.
Go ahead.
Yeah, one question. This part is, I thought that in R1 there was some missing security interaction with projects like STMC. For R2, is there any update on that?
I don't know exactly what you're referring to.
Like, for example, the CLAMP, Pam mentioned that you bring a policy, like in R1, there was an interaction between the policy and the rest of the other component in ONAP. But there was a dependency that in R1 for SDNC that was not covered. I guess I don't recall that if there was any follow up on that. Pam, I completely.
Yeah, I don't know. Marshall's here on that. I don't recall any issue with SDNC currently for control loops, which involves CLAMP policy and DCAE. There's no integration or need for SDNC in any of those control loops. So I'm not sure what you're referring to.
Yeah. Why don't you hold the question for about 10 minutes, and SDNC is going to be up next.
Okay.
Okay, if there's nothing else, I can stop.
Great. Thanks, Pam. I appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you, Chris.
Okay. So let's go right along. Next is SDNC and CCSDK.
Hi. Yeah.
See my Dan.
Hello. Hopefully you can see my screen.
Yes.
Okay, let me start with CCSDK and then do SDNC. CCSDK, we don't really have an API per se, because we're a set of libraries. So I'll skip over the APIs and talk more about what we're doing in terms of the S3P functionality. So in terms of performance, we're working with the integration team to understand basically what performance metrics we need to gather. And when we do our stability run, stability run doesn't really apply to CCSDK. That's more of an SDN thing. But if there are any enhancements that we need to make to like our logging to gather metrics that we can't get otherwise, we would do that. I don't think we've identified anything yet, though. For stability, that, you know, since we're a library, kind of don't really have a set of Docker containers that we would typically run standalone, so stability doesn't really apply. For resiliency, while we don't really have a standalone component, that's where the code lives that will drive the resiliency solution that SDNC is based on. So what we, Open Daylight itself has the ability to cluster, so we're going to be running a clustered Open Daylight configuration under Kubernetes. And on the SDNC page, like on the equivalent SDNC page, I have a link to the details for that. But basically what that will let us do is have a clustered Open Daylight configuration as well as a clustered database and to have automated detection and recovery within a site. We're not, we're doing for SDNC proof of concept, or actually two proof of concepts for geo-redundancy, but we're not committing to production-grade geo-redundancy solution in Beijing. For security, we're at 94% right now on the CII badge status. The things that are outstanding are we still need to get to 50% code coverage. We are adding integration with AAF, which isn't technically going to help us with the CII badge, but it's necessary in order to have better security. This is the same stuff that AppC reviewed yesterday. So I didn't add a lot of details here because you already saw it. We're basically a Me Too. And then there are still some critical security vulnerabilities that we need to address where feasible. Several of the vulnerabilities that I found in our report are actually related to JAR files that are distributed as part of the base Open Daylight platform. So for those, all we can really do is report those back to Open Daylight to say, well, what are you doing about these? Because, you know, we don't want to hack at the distribution they give us and start removing things. Because that, you know, that could break stuff. So that's kind of where we're at with security. Scalability doesn't really apply to CCSDK because it's a bunch of libraries. Manageability, mainly the impacts for us revolve around logging. And CCSDK includes a library called Filters that we actually had in Amsterdam, we just didn't use. We're going to use that in Beijing. And what that does is it introduces a Jetty filter to pick up some stuff from the incoming messages to set the different MDC values and stuff to support the standard ONAP logging. And then finally, usability. From what I interpreted, the main impacts to us are going to be documentation updates in our existing read the docs and wiki documentation. So that's CCSDK. Now let me shift gears to SDNC, unless there's any questions on this.
Great. Why don't you go ahead?
Okay. Let me go to SDNC. I'll go over the same. Let me go over the APIs first. So SDNC. Okay. For SDNC, we do have some changes to our generic resource API. We posted the Word document, the documents, what the changes are. And We have a developer working on the Yang, the associated Yang changes that he's going to be contributing probably either later this week or early next week. So once that's contributed, the way that we get the JSON, the swagger is basically we compile the Yang and then run a converter on it. So once that code submission is done, I'll be able to update this documentation for you, as well as to read the docs. We also have a new DMAP interface. In Amsterdam, we were only getting one event from DMAP, which was the DHCP event. For Beijing, we're going to also be getting listening on a new topic that will receive the same lifecycle management events that AppSeq gets. So when we get those, we're going to invoke a new API on our side, which is literally a copy of AppSeq's lifecycle management API. We're going to take a copy of their code and put it into CCSDK so that it can be used for both SDNC and AppSeq eventually. For Beijing, SDNC will use the CCSDK version. I don't think AppSeq is planning to switch over, but you know, we're putting it in a common place so that eventually we can both use the same thing because the API itself is the same. The only things that will be different are the way that our stuff is structured. When you call an API, what it really does is calls what we call a directed graph. So the directed graphs would be different between AppSeq and SDNC, but the base code should be the same. So that's why we're shoving it to CCSDK. So that's really the only API changes. Oops, I have to add. Okay, so let me go over that same S3P chart. Sorry. Okay. All right, this should be pretty similar to CCSDK because it's pretty similar. Performance is the same thing. We're working with the integration team to figure out what we need to do there. Stability, we plan to do a 72-hour soak. I'm a little bit behind where I'd like to be there because I've been having trouble getting a VM up and accessible via Wind River, but I think it's probably pilot error, my fault. I'm working with the Wind River team to get that up. And once that's up, we'll be able to start doing soaks. What I plan to do there that's different from Amsterdam is I want to bring up a copy of SDNC that's spun up via OOM so that the instance we're soaking is running under Kubernetes, so it's a like-for-like, not something we bring up via Heat and Docker Compose. So it's going to take a little bit more time to set up, but it'll be worth time well spent, I think. Okay, resiliency, I talked about this a little bit before. The work is really within CCSDK, more so than SDNC, but the plan is to run a clustered configuration under Kubernetes. And I provide a link here that has the details if anybody wants to get down and dirty into that. Our band status is pretty much exactly the same for CCSDK as it is for SDNC. The items still outstanding are we need 50% code coverage. We still have some critical security vulnerabilities where feasible. Most of the, on the SDNC side, most of them seem to be things we can address. We don't seem to be inheriting a lot of stuff from what do you call it, Open Daylight that we can't address. So I think we're gonna be in better shape there a little bit. Some items I forgot to add here is we need to switch from HTTP to HTTPS, which we have planned. That's a couple of the items on the badge status that are outstanding related to that. And yeah, I didn't want to give myself credit. I didn't want to give us credit for that until we actually have it working. Okay, so that's that. Same story with scalability. We don't really have, oh no, I'm sorry. CCSDK, I said scalability didn't really apply because it's a library. With SDNC, we're not doing any development in particular to address scalability. Open Daylight is sort of scalable. It's not pretty, it's not easy, but if you really needed to scale up, you could add additional nodes to a cluster. And depending on why you're scaling, it's easier or harder. If you're scaling because of CPU constraints, and you can just add additional nodes, and that's fine. If you're scaling because of memory, there's a little bit more surgery you have to do to get that to scale, but it's possible. So that's what that kind of mean. What I'm kind of saying there is that, do we support scalability? Yeah, it's manual. It's not pretty, but it's sort of kind of supported almost. Manageability is pretty much the same story as CCSDK. We're going to use that same library I talked about before in SDNC to provide standard logging and usability. It's documentation updates. So that was about all I had.
Great, thank you. Any questions from the team?
I have one question on security aspect of it. In CCSDK, you mentioned that it would be interfacing with the AAF. I'm curious on for what features you would be talking to AAF. Is it mostly for role-based access or for certificate enrollment?
But mostly role-based access.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Okay, any other questions? Great, thank you, Dan.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, and next up, CLI, Kankaraj.
Hi, Kush, good morning.
Good morning, welcome.
Is my screen visible to everybody?
Yes.
Okay. So in Beijing release mainly, we are targeting to support whatever we already supported Amsterdam release. In addition, we are trying to support VNF and the closed loop support and the PNF support. So these are the feature-wise difference. And we already completed that CA thing and added the batch here. Also, we have a good coverage, around 74%. So regarding HTTP, so we are planning to provide a HTTPS for the web command console, whatever we have given for the CLI. Also, CLI already supports horizontal scaling. So as part of Beijing, we will do some extensive testing. As part of that, we are planning to give a profile management support. It is kind of environment in other projects. Also, we are working on enabling the logging. So this is for the S3P. Okay, for the PNF management. So these are the different commands we plan now, like register PNF, unregistering the PNF. Also, you can see like what are the different PNFs are registered already. Also, like we are trying whether we can associate PNF with the existing services, like onboarding kind of stuff. So we are working on that, and we will discuss more about this with AI team as we go forward. CLI has its own model called the Open CLI specification. So it's detailed here. So anyone like to understand more about this, they can go to this page, and then this is where we have completely explained the IAM part of this model. And in CLI, Every command is having that data model by using this information model. So as we all know that for creating the CLI, we don't write any code. We just create model and then we create the CLI. So in this thing, we are creating a new in OCS, click context, which helps to communicate across the commands when we are writing. And then we are enabling the same for the SNMP profile, and we are planning out for the response. And we already supported HTTP profile.
Sorry, Kanagraj, we're starting to lose you. You're fading out a little bit.
Is it working now?
That's better, yes.
Okay, yeah, thank you. So what I was telling, so in Beijing release, we are trying to enhance this the open command specification. So it is kind of, it's basically an information for model for the, so every CLI we are implementing by referring this information model, we create one data model for it. So one CLI is equal to one data model. It's nothing but the YAML YAML file. So in your thing, it's already there, and we are running on the response profile. And HTTP, we already seen. Okay, this one about the model. And so here I listed like every CLI, like whether we are supporting in both the release or only particular release, like a Beijing. And for the support, we have like RV management, PNF management, and then EMS management. The PNF management, it will come only for the Beijing. And service orchestration, we will continue support as we are in the Amsterdam. So Amsterdam, we try to support this close-group management. So we are not able to. So we are planning the same in Beijing release. And yeah, customer management, all the same. Okay. So for I think the AF is being effect, and then I think different projects are planning to integrate. So we are taking this to do like authentication based on the AF in Beijing. So VNF, I already mentioned about it. So we are also like say whether like we can standardize the CLI for the VNF. Okay, I think that's all. So finally, so we want user management for the CLI itself, so that say like is one of the requirement I got from the AT&T. They have an environment where like different the operators really want to control access to the set of commands. So I am enabling the user management for at CLI level itself. It will be a kind of a role-based access control for the CLIs. Yeah, that's all I have. Any?
Karnakaraj, this is Sundar from Portal Team. You talked about the user access management. Is it for the CLI UI application that's onboarded to Portal?
So right now we are trying to enable this. So like for example, when the user they can log in, as then without login they cannot run any commands here. And for supporting the portal integration, so the portal team. So we are still continuing on that.
Sundar? Yeah, this is Sundar. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think, yeah, we are in the discussion, so still it's not complete.
Okay, so for this release, were you planning on creating any role, or is that for the next iteration, Casablanca?
Actually we wanted to add it in Beijing release itself because that will give like a good user usability from the user point of view. It would be great like you can give a good support from your team.
Okay, then we'll continue the discussion then.
Yes, sure. Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
I also have one question. This is Helen. For the security, you have the CI batch. What about the third-party library vulnerability? I took a quick look just a moment ago. USIMs also have some one or two. Or maybe it's because some kind of dependent in the library, but maybe you'd like to take a look.
I was looking into it. It came from some third party libraries. Right. So when I analyzed the pod, when I analyzed that severity, it actually does not affect the CLI from the security point of view. So some of the earlier build, it got waived with the help of Linux Foundation. So I have because it does not give any security violation from the CLI point of view.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for bringing this up.
I have one question too. Like again, same as what I asked before. You mentioned HTTPS here. So what it means is that you require certificates and private key and enrolled with some CA. So do you intend to use AAF CA service to get the certificate enrolled?
Right now I don't have any plan to specifically take only for the CLI. I believe we will have a centralized thing across the OneApp. So whichever we are coming up with, so I will take the certificate from that authority and then put it in the CLI project.
Okay. Yeah. There is one framework called CADI framework. So you need to kind of integrate that with your project if you want to take advantage of AAF.
Okay. Yeah. Can you please give some link where I can refer it? Can you please send a mail if there is? Okay.
Sure. Thank you.
Great. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you, Kanagaraj.
Thank you, Krish. Yeah. Thank you all.
Why don't we move on? Next is OOM.
Hi, Chris. It's Roger.
Hi, Roger. Yep, go ahead. It's all yours.
Can you see my wiki page?
Yes.
Okay. So, as you know, the OOM project is not a functional project like some of the others. It's a DevOps kind of project. So a lot of the capabilities that we've talked about with S3P are going to be partly provided by OOM. So we don't achieve those ourselves. We're enablers for the rest of the community. We have been working with many of the teams already to add those capabilities. And one of the prime ways we're doing that is to fully support the Helm package management and lifecycle management system. So this is what we're doing, is migrating from using Helm under the hood, which is something that we did in Amsterdam. If you did the one-click install, those things used Helm, but we're exposing that to the user, and that will allow us to do many more things than we could before. So the deployments will be largely the same as what we had before, but a little easier. You'll be able to do things like Helm install ONAP and be able to specify an environment variable, an environment file that you could say, this is a development environment versus a production environment, and it would take on some new values. Configuration, we've spent a lot of time on configuration to try to unify that across all of the projects. So there will be a single place to specify things like OpenStack credentials, for example. Monitoring is built in, healing is built in, but when we're working with each of the project teams, I want to point out that the containers are inherently ephemeral. So when a container dies, a new replacement container is created. So it's important for each of the project teams to work with us to ensure that any state information that they need to be maintained across a healing operation is stored in a persistent volume. So we will, we've done that for most of the projects, but I can't say for sure it's all correct. As you go through your resiliency testing, if you find any defects that state information should be stored that isn't, please contact us and we'll work together to try to resolve that. Scaling is also a capability of OOM provided on top of Kubernetes. So I think all the projects are doing a static kind of scaling capability. How that's done from the Kubernetes perspective is to create a number of containers. And that part is actually pretty simple. And in the standard deployment specs that we're creating, that's simply changing an integer from, you know, 1 to 3, and you would get 3 clusters. But that doesn't make your application necessarily scalable across that cluster. Your application will have to cut, you know, talk to itself. So there are capabilities that are provided by OOM and Kubernetes, but it doesn't provide a complete solution for you. Upgrades, likewise, will be possible with Helm. So we'll be able to, hopefully for the first time, have a deployment that we can keep running for hopefully forever, and continually upgrade the components. And that could be upgrading single Dockers, or upgrading a config parameter, or doing a major upgrade of more many or even all of the components. There's also capabilities to roll back as well. So if there's an issue, then we can roll back to a known good state. So all of these capabilities provided by Helm and Kubernetes. And finally, deleting and cleaning up your system. So maybe I won't go on in much more detail, but just to say that the OOM team is working with many of the project teams. If you haven't been contacted by the OOM team, and please contact us, and we'll try to make sure that we work together on achieving those S3P goals and make sure that ONAP is really a production grade system. I think that's all I wanted to present. Any questions?
How are we achieving the cross cluster load balancing? I think Kubernetes takes care of within the cluster.
Yep, so there's lots of details here about how that works. If you go down to the scaling and clustering, then we use what's called a service, and that service sits in front of all the containers. So for example, in this SDNC clustered example, you'll see that there's a service that has a load balancer distributing traffic amongst 3 containers that are the ODL containers doing the work. And that load balancer is all built in. So you don't have to do that work yourself. You just have to declare the cluster, and then your application has to be inherently clusterable, and we'll do the distribution of data.
Even across the clusters, across 2 different Kubernetes clusters?
No, this is within a single site.
Yeah, I'm referring to how we handle this with across the clusters, 2 different clusters. Like if a cluster is down, how do we ensure the traffic goes to a different cluster, or do we ensure the data is continued?
So in general, geographic redundancy is not, I don't think that's something that any of the teams are really supporting in this release, but there's the concept of federation so that we can have a federated cluster federation of multiple clusters, and we can distribute that the information that way. But as far, I know of no projects that are trying to do that yet.
Okay.
Any other questions?
One clarification. Like, are we using multiple clusters today in ONAP, or all ONAP services are in one single Kubernetes cluster?
It's one cluster.
One cluster.
There may be multiple. It's possible to configure it so that there's multiple Kubernetes orchestrators that are managing that cluster so that they don't fail individually, but it would be one cluster in one site. Is typically the deployments that are there. One last thing I'll suggest is that everyone click on this video link here. This is from the virtual face-to-face meeting, but it's a good demo of the capabilities that are going to be available in Beijing with a Helm-based deployment.
Besides, one question. On clarification question, maybe I missed initial 2 minutes. So besides the standard Kubernetes capabilities, anything else the ONAP bringing in as part of this project?
So remember, it's not just Kubernetes, right? We're using Helm on top of that. Our goal is to make ONAP a pure Helm-based application. So
Helm is a deployment tool, right?
Well, it's not deployment. It's not just deployment. It's all the lifecycle. So we have, you know, being able to heal your containers, having all configured properly. We monitor the containers as well. So there are what are called liveness probes to monitor your containers. There's also a GUI that's available. We also deploy Consul as a method to provide a graphical view of that. And some other users of it, like DCAA, for example, are going to use the distributed store capability of Consul. So that's part of the project as well. That's the same as Amsterdam.
Roger, I have one question. What's the status of the deployment with DCAE?
So we had a meeting with DCAE yesterday. DCAE is pretty significantly changing their architecture for Beijing, as Lucien described to us yesterday. So they have they are rolling that out in. It wasn't quite clear, but maybe a week or 2 weeks from now. So we will be working closely with them to get that supported by OM as soon as they've rolled out their new architecture.
So with the new architecture and also pure OM-based deployment, do we still need that Designate in the future?
No, that's a nice thing. Designate will go away. We don't need Designate. And it's not 100% sure. DCAA uses the Cloudify Manager, which they are exploring a very newly released, fully containerized version of that. So hopefully we'll be able to have a completely containerized version of DCAE that we can deploy with OOM without any of the difficulties of trying to build a hybrid open stack Kubernetes environment.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Great. Thank you, Roger.
Thanks, Chris.
Okay, next is Clamp.
Okay, I'm going to share my screen.
Great.
Ryzen, can you see it?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, so we're going to be quite fast, I believe. So we'll start with the easy one. So the IMDM alignment, in this case, is not applicable, given that we didn't have any interaction with the modeling, as for now. For the API, even only one API exposed, which is the API for health check, and it does not change. The only effort that is being made there is the integration with MSB, that is started to expose that LCK API through MSB. For the S3P, we are currently at 80% toward the level one of the CI badging. We still have some work to do on quality and security to reach the 100%, but it is in progress. We are leveraging the OM for scaling and resiliency. And one of the elements being to use the Gala Cluster MariaDB standard Helm chart that the OM team and Roger is working on that. And also to set up something similar to what Roger mentioned about load balancer on top of three nodes doing the work. So that's it for the those part. Now coming to the architecture, there was some significant change. The first one being that we have moved the design part of control loop towards the SDC, So it is a sub-project inside ADC, and it is called DCAE DS. And this is where now you will design a controller for service insurance, and those controllers will be distributed directly to DCAE. And the main clamp, so meaning this clamp project will still be doing the runtime, meaning today in the deployment, as before, and managing the lifecycle of the control loop that has been deployed. We're also going to introduce some dashboard for KPI view in Beijing, and to be based on the ELK stack. And so that's it. So if you have any question, please ask.
Any questions for Clamp? Okay. Thank you, Marshall.
You're welcome.
Okay. The next project is DMAP. Who's going to present from the DMAT team?
Dominic, are you presenting from DMAT?
No, I thought you were going to do it, Sunil.
Okay, yeah, I'll present. I'm sharing the screen.
Yeah. Yeah, some updated slides.
Can you see my screen?
Yes.
Yep.
As part of DMAP, we have added message router for Amsterdam release. And as part of Beijing release, we have not made many changes. As part of Beijing release, we are planning to integrate with AF using CADI filter. That's one change we are working on it. Regarding how we accomplish S3P, for stability, we are planning to do this 72-hour smoke test. For that, we are planning to use JMeter. For resiliency, Kubernetes by default provide auto detection and recovery, so we'll accomplish that. And for security, we already covered. We already add the test cases so that we cover the 50% code coverage, and there are a couple of issues related to the open source libraries, and we are working on them. And for scalability, yeah, Kubernetes will natively support it. So we will accomplish it by that. And we will use ELF for uniform logging across all the application. And for message router, the documentation is available at this link. There are no changes when compared to the Amsterdam. We are just adding the AF. We are just authenticating the API using the AF. And as part of the Beijing release, we are also adding bus controller.
I could speak to this one, Sunil.
Yes.
So the other component we're adding under the DMAP project is called the DMAP bus controller. It was dropped from Amsterdam. It was originally proposed, but dropped because some of the use cases went away. Now, with the introduction of authenticated topics in message router, the bus controller is useful again. So we're reintroducing it to Beijing. It serves as a trusted provisioning agent for DMAP services. It's able to provision topics and feeds on the message router and data router. In addition to creating the AAF permissions and grants that are necessary. I'll show that in the architecture diagram on the next slide. As far as S3P, We're also using Kubernetes auto detection and recovery for resiliency. For security, I mentioned that this is integrated with AAF. That's really used for topic provisioning and then client publish and subscribe operations. The scalability is supported through the OOM model that's being proposed for Kubernetes. We also use the ELF logging framework for manageability. The REST API is documented on the DMAP wiki, and there also is a side developer GUI that's provided so that people can easily create topics and feeds without needing to use the API. Portability is achieved through Docker containerization. The information data model alignment is really focused on the abstraction of DMAP topics and feeds. Each of those things have various attributes for describing what they are, and then the clients, the publishers, and the subscribers that connect to them. In addition, there's support of the AAF role that's applied to message router clients. The API is documented in Swagger, and that's available at the link that's provided there. If you can go to the next slide. This is just tried to provide a picture of the relationship of bus controller, which is the bluish area. The API is provided at the top, and it's intended to be used by components that need provisioning, DMAP provisioning to be done for them. That could be done at deployment time or runtime. Typically, it's done at deployment time. The API runs against a stateless bus controller container that will that can scale out to multiple instances if necessary. Persistence is achieved through the Postgres as a service that's currently provided by the DCAE project. And then underneath, the real function of this thing is to provision the various DMAP components, not all DMAP actually, but message router and data router are shown there. And then also the AAF gets provision for granting permissions and topics. So it's really a provisioning interface used by other services to the other DMAP services. Any questions?
Sounds like that's good.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the presentation. Next, SDC. Who's going to present from the SDC team?
I will present, Chris. Hi.
Perfect. Hi.
Okay, I'll just start sharing the screen. Okay, can everybody see my screen right now?
Yes.
Okay, so let's start from the beginning. From the perspective of the architectural changes done since Amsterdam, SDC continues its effort to enhance the current modern capabilities that we had in Amsterdam. We're doing this on top of a framework we're creating to allow easier integration of different plugins that enhance our modern capabilities. In this release, our aim is to add the DCAD designer, which is being contributed as a seed code from AT&T as part of the SDC. In addition, we're continuing our work to integrate with the workflow designer, which has been developed by ZTE and is also part of the SDC. In addition, we are preparing to onboard even more designers because from discussions we had up until now, we will onboard at some point the policy designer, the APC designer, and we want to create a robust framework to enhance our ease of integration for them. In addition, one more item SDC is currently contributing is the SDC UI, more concretely ONAP UI. What we did was we created a UI library that allows any plugin that's been added to the SDC to easily achieve the same look and feel as the SDC as a whole. It's simply a library of different UI components and style guides that allow a plugin that wants to be integrated into the SDC to achieve the same look and feel. That's from the perspective of new architecture changes. From the S3P, we're in the process of reaching our badge. We're currently at 88%. Since SDC is defined as a design time application, we will do all the work needed to fulfill the carrier guide requirements according to that level. We will also try to achieve it for the different plugins inside SDC, but that will be more of a stretch goal. In addition, we are doing work to better integrate with OEM. We had some issues with our integration with OEM based on the structure of our Dockers. So currently we're creating a different separation of them and an easier way for a OEM to check if the Dockers are up and working successfully. From data model alignment perspective, for our tool, there is a lot of modeling discussions being done. SDC will provide, according to the guidelines of the modeling subcommittee, we will allow onboarding of the new models and the use of them for the different use cases. At the moment, we have the changes to the current model used by Volte that is going to be added, and there's also the modeling changes needed for the HPA that SDC is going to support. From the API updates perspective, the SDC way that we use Swagger is we generate the Swagger on the fly. Each time we build a replication, the annotations provided in the code generate the Swagger representation. It's part of our application. The instructions on how to access it are available in the link we provided here. It's also important to note that SDC also has two SDKs to provide to the community. There is the SDC Distribution Client SDK and the SDC Tosca SDK. Both of these are libraries, so they don't have a Swagger. Instead, they have Java docs that are available as part of the owner. In addition, I also added a small diagram representing the way that the SDC will work with the new plugins that are being added to us. We have a framework that allows from our UI inside it to open a UI interface for the different plugins. Each plugin serves as a proxy for request of that UI to their backend server. And that backend server communicates with their own database and with the SDC external APIs that are protected by basic authentication. This is pretty much all I have. This is a high-level description of all the work that SDC is currently doing as part of Beijing.
This is Steve. Just one question. What's the eCom portal?
I apologize. It's a typo. I mean the portal that's currently provided as part of ONAP.
Okay, thanks.
It's simply the portal interface that we use to access SDC.
Yeah, it's called the ONAP portal. Yeah.
I apologize. Yeah. It's a typo in the slide. Anyone has any questions or something they want to raise or ask regarding what they just presented?
Michael, I also have one question that actually earlier I had asked some other project regarding the third-party vulnerability issues. What's your plan?
You're speaking about the items identified by the CLM scans?
Yes.
We're going to address all of them. Simply the SLM job for the SDC itself was down for a while, so we only 2 days ago received the list of vulnerabilities. We're going to review them and try to address all of them as far as we can. Anything that will not be addressed will be described in the security vulnerabilities list as requested by the security subcommittee.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other questions? Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Next is AAF and CSM.
Kiran, are you going to show the slides?
Yeah, I'm about to share it. Yeah. Can you see my screen?
Yes.
Okay. So, Srini, you can go ahead.
I can talk through first slide.
So in the AAF, you know, there are many functionalities that were there in Amsterdam, and the same is basically being provided in Beijing. And what we understand from AAF team is that there are no API changes in Beijing release. So the existing functionality will work as is. These two slides talk about additional functionality which we are introducing in Beijing release. As we know, AT&T already provided seed core for CA, Certificate Authority. That's a Java code. That particular CA code today uses a private key, that CA private key in CLEAR when it is used internally. So what we are doing in this project is basically enhancing that internal CA service to enable to use hardware security modules, PKCS 11 based hardware security modules. PKCS 11 interface is something a standard interface from OASIS, so those that we don't have to document them. But underneath that PKCS 11, certainly third party HSMs can be added to it, like Gemalto HSMs or Thales HSMs can be added underneath it based on whatever enhancements which we are going to do in Beijing release. In addition, we are also basically interfacing with Soft HSM, which is again an open source project from OpenDNSSEC. But Soft HSM again stores the keys not in very secure fashion, and that's the reason we are adding additional plugins. I mean, many server hardware today, they do have very good hardware to secure the keys and secrets. Like for example, many motherboards have TPM, and in case of ARM, they have TrustZone, which can be used to store private keys and do crypto operations there. So basically, as part of this Beijing release, our intention is to enhance the Soft HSM to attach various hardware plugins. And initially, we intend to provide TPM-based hardware plugin to Soft HSM. So essentially, the purpose is that secure private key, CA private key, and not only in storage, but also while it is being used. So the entire crypto operations will be done in the TPM in this case. Since we want to allow multiple hardwares to be attached to the Soft HSM, we provided something called a hardware plugin interface, and that is documented in the wiki page that is shown here. So that's what we are doing with respect to hardware security in Beijing release. So that's all from my side. If there are no questions, can we proceed to next slide?
Just one quick question on this. Is on the CA service. A number of the projects have been asking how to work with you for CAs to enable HTTPS. Is there a way that you would prefer each of the teams to interact?
Yeah, that is the existing AAF team already has that CA service and interfaces with other ONAP services to get the certificate enrolled. Mm-hmm. And what we're really doing here is basically adding additional functionality within the CA service to secure the keys. So I think Sunil and Sai are there in the call today, and they may be able to provide. I understand that there is something called Caddy, which can be integrated with the ONAP services currently for RDAC purposes. But in the Beijing release, they intend to upgrade that Caddy interface, Caddy layer to even get the certificate enrolled. So I think Caddy is the right place to package to be integrated for getting the certificates enrolled.
Okay.
So Sai and Ram, if you want to comment anything, that would be great.
I actually have a similar question, but in a different way. Do you have a, like, I know you could connect with external CA services. Do you have a default, some kind of CA services with this project? The reason I'm asking for that is how we could test that. Because currently we don't have external CA services. We want to have some kind of default behavior in the integration app or somewhere to test it. And other projects probably want to do the same thing as well.
Yeah, all the blue items here are optional, like a given deployment, if they really want, based on level of security they want, a deployment can have the third-party modules there, or third-party boxes or VMs. But that's the intention, Helen. By providing the local soft HSM and TPM plugin integration to the CA service, we don't have to depend on any additional hardware devices or any additional third-party devices.
Perfect. Thank you.
If there are any questions on AAF and how we work with the AAF team, maybe it would be better for those folks to join the AAF weekly meeting or the Scrum meetings. So we can probably help them address those questions in a much better way. Understand what those questions are, and maybe we can work together in that fashion.
Okay, so I'll move to the next slide. So AAF also includes a secret management service component. Basically, what it provides is framework for securely storing your secrets, and you can access them using a REST API. The secret management service talks to AAF to do authentication and authorization. All the communication is over TLS. The plan is for it to integrate with AAF and get certificates from there, and also the clients, the microservices which talk to secret management service, will themselves have their certificates which have been provided by AAF, and those certificates will be used to establish communication with the secret management service. This is the basic structure of the microservice. We have a front end, which is the main secret management web service, which uses HashiCorp Vault in the back end for storing the secrets. And we have a Vault plugin that talks to Vault. The interface is a plugin-based interface, and you can develop a different plugin that you can use to use for a different backend if you don't want to use Vault or something like that. Right now it is extensible, and default implementation uses HashiCorp Vault for it. And the API docs and the API Swagger API documentation is already on the CSM project page, which is under AAF on the ONAP wiki, where you can see the REST APIs that are used for it. We also plan to provide a secret client agent written in Java that you can use to integrate with your microservice to talk to the secret management service, which will encapsulate all the REST calls with the simple APIs to create secrets and retrieve them and things like that.
Thank you. Any questions on this piece? Okay.
Hi. Actually, I have a question, but not related to the today's page. I have a question about the authentication. So currently, multiple project, multiple component ONAP are integrated into the portal UI. But if the user log in the portal and want to access different component, the user need to log in to different project. My question is that does F have any suggestion to achieve centralized authentication so user can be more convenient to use the portal?
Did you ask about authentication?
Yeah.
Maybe ask a little bit different way. Instead of they always need to authenticate if they could pass some kind of session or whatever stuff you guys could manage.
I can say that a different component. They have different user and password. So, for example, if you want to access SDC, you need to log into SDC, and if you want to access the page of ANI, you need, to log into ANI build. So that's my question. Is there any solution for the centralized application?
So I don't think that's the way it's supposed to be. All the applications that are, all the GUIs are supposed to be onboarded through the ONAP portal. And authentication should be done only once. That was the whole purpose of this. I don't think we should have a separate authentication done for SDC or VED or other components.
Yes, I agree. I mean, I understand that's the current situation, but we need to improve. Yeah, I mean, is there any suggestion or possible solution right now suggested by AF team to achieve that?
Maybe we can talk about this offline. I don't really get how AAF is solving this issue. I mean, we can also definitely look for improvement.
No, it's not related to the slide you share here. It's a question related to AF project as a whole.
Okay. Hubing, I think if I understand correctly, the portal project. Again, some people can correct me if I'm wrong. The way portal project today maintains its own user database. And things like that, but I think there is some time back I heard, there may be a portal project might use AAF for user authentication and also for getting the role-based policy information.
So right now the identities are maintained within portals for now, but we have the capability to plug into other identity managers. And if AAF is the possible solution for maintaining the identities, that's something that we should look for. As for the RBAC control, yes, we do want to use AAF as the repository for our roles. But that's one of the things that we're working on in this area.
Right.
Sumit, anything you want to add?
That's it for us. Actually, I think maybe we could look at take a look into the centralized solution at the external API gateway component, if it's possible.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a common approach. I mean, for the mixed service architecture.
Okay. Sure. So Sundar, maybe in the next the ONAP portal's ETL call, we can probably include broader team.
It will have portal coming up in a few minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else? Any final questions? Let's move on then to VID. Who's here from the VID team?
Chris, give us a second. We'll ping Ophir again.
Okay, let me just move that down a little bit. Portal's up next.
Hey, thanks. Okay. So Farhan and I are going to present, we're going to share the presentation. Farhan, do you want me to start?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I can talk quickly about the SAP. You can probably go over the API stuff.
Yeah, API and the high level. Yeah. Okay. So, so basically, summarize the conversation, the discussion, the security, which is the S3P, and I'm going to cover the broader aspect of the what we're going to do for the vision release and also the and the APIs. Yeah. So let me take the presentation, Ryan. Do I have it? I'm sorry. I'm trying to present my screen.
You should have a share screen button, green color on the bottom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think so. Yeah. See. Thanks. Okay.
Okay, so yeah, so you can stay here. So there are a couple of areas that we're working in the SAP set of tasks. So first one is for the resiliency, and actually also for scalability. We're actually trying to integrate with the music APIs right now, or music infrastructure. I think Shankar covered that earlier today. There are quite a few changes around that in order to integrate with the music interface, and that's going to allow us to horizontally scale, not just horizontally scale, but allow resiliency within the portal. Another area that we are focusing on is around the security. There are a few vulnerabilities that we identified, and we're trying to resolve them, things like cross-site scripting, and there's some corner cases for SQL injection, and we're adding further protection against these kind of attacks. And also, the issues that were identified in the Nexus IQ around the open source libraries, there are some versions that were vulnerable and were also identified in CVE. So we are actually currently fixing most of them. There may be one library that we may not be able to upgrade in time, but again, we're still investigating whether we can push for it. But if it turns out there's something that we cannot continue, we'll probably add that to the security vulnerability list that the security team is maintaining. Around the manageability area, there are some improvements in the logging that we're introducing right now. We're still using EELF, but there were certain issues as far as the traceability was concerned when the logs are, when you log, especially the API calls from one system or one component to another. These are the, there were some improvements that we're trying to make over there. So, of course, the documentation part, we're trying to finish up or improve the documentation on our own MVP page. Any questions around that in any of the SCCs? Okay. All right, Sundar, you can probably move over to...
Sure. Okay. Okay. Let's see. We have the API freeze milestone. So, the APIs have not changed much from the Amsterdam release. They're still the same. In fact, there's been no changes whatsoever. We always try to keep it backward compatible. In terms of our definition of the APIs and also the structure of the object. Just to go over the one that we're introduced in Amsterdam, and just want to stress on that again. One thing was the AF integration. So we have now the seamless integration with the AF system through Portal, and the SDK, Portal SDK that we distribute to the partners, like Reddit policy, and ASDC, that has been locked. They can go ahead and download. And I think the teams, we have already communicated with the teams with Clamp and even policy to upgrade their SDK, so they're on 2.1, which would be the final release version, and it's available in the repositories in Nexus.
One thing I would want to add, the AF integration is for the RBAC integration, not for the certificate management.
Yeah, that's right. So that's correct. We're only using AF at this point for authorization, which is the user role management and portal, plus the applications onboarded are the portal. Not at the system level. In fact, we also provided the scripts to Sai, I guess. Sai, I think you reviewed them. So we will see if, there is an option that we have provided in Portal wherein even if AF is offline, all the roles could be centralized at the Portal level itself for the applications. So that also is available in this Beijing release. And coming back to the APIs. So these are all the APIs which the partners have to call or invoke to interact with Portal about their roles and also the permissions for the roles, and etc. SDK provides a wrapper around this, so the partners don't actually have to understand what's going behind the scenes. Once they upgrade their SDK, everything happens automatically without any. All those API calls are going to be agnostic to the actual developers of the application. So we have hidden all that inside the SDK itself. Those were the things about the APIs. About the Sonar coverage, we are at we're past the 50% at this point. Just gonna open that real quick. This should be we are at 50.2. We're trying to improve beyond that. So we have a couple of weeks that we're targeting. External teams are also helping us, like Tech Mahindra and IBM. On the SDK side, however, we are still lagging, and we have a plan to meet the 50 for the Beijing release. That we'll be working over the next few weeks on that. The other metrics, the CSRE tests are also being worked, and we're getting help from the other external teams for the CSRE tests also. Those are pretty much the items. If anyone has any questions, anything on the distribution of the Portal SDK that we have provided partners, we have already communicated. So, but if still anyone has any questions, they can certainly ask on this call.
This is Helen. Actually, I have one question. I brought that in one of the PTO's meeting on Monday. Mm-hmm. Regarding the hard-coded redirect for the Portal API OLAP demo, simple demo OLAP, that thing. The reason this one becomes significant for Beijing release now is we decided to use OM to do the deployment. With this hard-coded redirect, which will impact the AI, CLI, SDC, VIT, those kind of project, we have to use VNC to access our portal. That's extremely inconvenient for us. Actually, it's really impact the usability of the whole OLAP portal. What's the plan?
Is there so basically the redirect you're saying is hard coded?
Yes. Yes.
You mean? Can you clarify a little bit more about that? Are you talking about security thing, open redirect, or is it you mean the portal API sample demo? Is that the thing? That the one that's hard coded?
Yes. We always have to map the OLAP of the portal. Like before, when we deploy user hit based deployment, we have to map before it's ecomp org dot 8989, that kind of thing. Right now, before Amsterdam release, it changed to OLAP.org something, but still hard coded in the system. For the OM deployed base, it cannot do that kind of way because the OM don't know how to redirect this.
I do we have hard coded redirect?
You are not hard coded, but you have somewhere. Maybe we could talk about this one offline. I think there's some kind of impact for your project. Please let me know what's the best time to talk with you. We have a team.
Sure.
This is very, very important.
I think it's just a configuration that we're missing. I believe it shouldn't be hardcoded, but let's talk about that.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I think you're also referring to some DNS mapping, I guess, between the IP address and the...
Because you simply could try this. Right now, it's a simple demo.olap.org, that kind of name mapping, right? You just change it to anything else, then the portal won't work. we talk about this one offline.
Okay. Feel free to reach out to Farhan, me, Sundar, Rain also is on the call. Helen, is this Helen?
Yes, this is Helen. I'll send you an email.
Thank you, Helen.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Yeah, Chris, I have one general comment. When I thought the Beijing release has HTTPS communication as mandated in Beijing release. I think it's good to know for HTTPS you require certificates. So are the projects trying to create their own certificates and then communicate with others, or are they planning to use AAF to get the certificate enrolled? So that clarity is good to have in mind.
So HTTPS is really something to satisfy the CII badging. And it helps all the teams. So I know a lot of people are working on this. They're trying to figure out, that's what we heard earlier on the call, that several of the projects are still trying to figure out how to work with AAF on this. That's the expectation, to be able to work with AAF to get the certificates.
Okay.
And Chris, this is Dave. I got a bit distracted during that part of the discussion there, unfortunately. But I understood as a conclusion to that, there's lots of stuff ongoing internally in IAF, but there is the APIs there already, correct?
Yes.
So it is possible that the projects can take those APIs. And I mean, they don't really care how the certificate comes after they use that API, right?
Yeah, I think that's something we want to dig into a little bit further, because that's what we heard from several of the projects earlier on the call before you were able to join, Steve, that they were having trouble bringing in the certificates.
Okay, thanks. Mm-hmm.
Okay, anything else? Okay, let's circle back to Vid then.
Hi, can you hear me now?
Yes, that works.
Oh, that's good. I had a microphone problem, so let me share my screen and we begin.
Can you see it?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay. So with Beijing architecture review, let me begin with the difference between Beijing and Amsterdam. So the first change, it's concerned about the change management operation. Vid user can make change management operation without scheduling capabilities. In Amsterdam, all the operation just had to be done by a scheduler, and we don't have a scheduler built in ONAP. And at the moment, the possibilities to make these operations is without the scheduler. And hopefully in Casablanca it will be available. So that's the first architecture change. Next thing is the use cases we support in this release. So first one is, of course, change management. And you can see the epics. Next one is VNF scale-out, which is also in progress at the moment. And the third one is the PNF plug-and-play, which is still open, still not defined, and the requirements are still in progress. So that's the picture of the architecture at the moment. Okay, any question about this part? Okay, so let's continue with...
Samtun, quick one. So I believe the OOF team is working on some change management application, CMSO, as a stretch goal, right, for R2. Just wanted to bring that up. I think that probably can be integrated at some point, I guess, right?
Yeah, I'm aware of the OOF change management, but I'm not sure they deliver it in Beijing. Do they deliver it in Beijing? Do they have a scheduler component? As far as I know, it's planned for Casablanca. And probably in Casablanca, we'll have to think regarding the scheduling capabilities of the change management operation. But for Beijing, Vid will allow only make this operation immediate, not planned for the future, not scheduled, but all these operations would be immediate.
Okay, so you don't have even, okay, just immediate, okay.
Yeah, and then probably next release, we could integrate with OOF capabilities of scheduling. Okay. Any other question? Okay, so I'll continue with the S3P updates. Vid is a runtime application, so it's committed to all these resiliency, stability, manageability, performance, usability, scalability, and security commitments regarding these items. It's also shown in, let me switch, in the release plan. These are the target levels. It's shown here. And the epics also, of course, in Jira, and then some of them are open, some of them are in progress, and by the code freeze, we plan to finish this, all these non-functional requirements. At the moment, the CII badge, we stand on the 95%. So we just have one or two items away from that, from finishing it, actually. And the next item is the OOM integration. Also, it's in progress and we're working on it. Should be in time for Beijing as well, of course. This is regarding the S3P. Besides that, we have the model alignment. As you know, we have a new model features. It's generated by SDC. It affects A and AI, which is also a dependency of Vid. And we aligned Vid to recognize the new models, and we use the new SDC Tosca parser to read the service models. So we are aligned to the new models. And the last thing we have here is the API. So Vid doesn't expose or supply any APIs for a third party. We just consume APIs of the other components. So this one is NA. This is it basically. If anybody have any question, please go ahead. Okay.
Okay.
That's it.
Thank you, Ophir.
Any questions? Okay.
I appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you, Chris.
Sure. The next up is external API.
Sorry?
Oh, the next project
Stop the sharing.
Yes, yeah. External API. Yeah. No problem.
Hey, Chris. It's Andy.
Hey, Andy.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, thanks.
Okay. Ludovic had to attend another call, unfortunately, but I'll try to get through this. That's my calendar. No one wants to see that. So hold on a second. I have a very busy calendar. All right. So what I tried to do, external API is kind of although it was a project during Amsterdam, we didn't have any code being produced at that time. So it's a new code project for Beijing. It's not part of the minimal viable product for Beijing. So we are just getting our first code set really up and rolling now. And just like these slides that we had from the Tiger team, that kind of sets the context of what we're trying to do. So external API is really presenting capabilities of ONAP, like presenting ONAP as a black box. And specifically our focus is on DSS-OSS interactions in three areas for Amsterdam, which is the service catalog, service ordering, and service inventory. And so really what we're trying to do is kind of present a standards-based API agent that supports TM form APIs for these three areas and kind of mediates those into interactions into the different ONAP components. And the ONAP components we're interacting with are SDC, SO, and ANAI, which would sense make sense because the service catalog interface is providing a view of requestable ONAP services and allowing the retrieval of the service template, the model. And that's using the SDC catalog. So it mediates the TM form API, the service catalog API into the SDC catalog API. And then for service ordering, we're presenting a TM form service ordering API, and that's mediating into the SO service instantiation API. And we'll go a little bit more detail into this, but with the time we have, we're not going to cover all the specific details. But the idea is that we're providing a standardized mechanism for BSS-OSS to place service orders into ONAP that are based on product orders that BSS-OSS receives from a customer or from a partner provider. And the idea is that a service order can be comprised of many different service order items. Each order item would correspond to a service instantiation request into SO. And then we're also developing a TM form-based service inventory interface. And that's a mechanism that will reach into ANAI's inventory service interface. So that's pretty much the idea. So again, just to reiterate, our consumed interfaces are our SDC's catalog, SO's service instantiation, ANAI's service inventory interface, and that our consumed models are really the model that's presented from the service catalog, which is the service descriptor, Tosca representation of the services that can be requested and that would be fulfilled through service instantiation SO. And this is kind of what our architecture looks like. So we're presenting these APIs from service ordering, the service order API based on the TM form into the BSS-OSS. So you can see here, you'll see the interactions with BSS-OSS, and then that ties down into the service instantiation APIs from SO. Likewise, we have the service catalog API that's based on the TM form model. Let's present Northbound and BSS-OSS, and we're interacting with the service or the catalog API from SDC. And likewise, we have the service inventory API based on TM form that's present Northbound. And these are all JSON-based APIs. And then it presents the interacts with ANAI through the interface below. We've had a lot of discussion around the presence of customer information. We realized that ANI has to have customer information in it for Beijing, but I think the strategy is to kind of move away from customer related data within ANI as well. So I think we're dumbing up all the services under a single customer for this release. So we identified the areas of the TM4 models that we're applying on these APIs. So for the service catalog API, we have the general idea of what the service specification looks like, and that's presented through the catalog. Then from the ordering aspect, we have the order, the service order, the order items, as well as how that relates into the service. And then from the service inventory API, we have the service model that's represented based on the TM4 model. And again, these are mediated down into the individual models of the individual ONAP components. Any questions on that?
The ANDI interface be considered mandatory or more of optional? Because if it's a more declarative type of interface exposing, then SPC and S4 should suffice, right?
Yeah, so the question is this a mandatory interface?
Yes, the specifically ANDI, is it a mandatory or... because if it's a more declarative, interface you're looking at, then ANDI is not probably necessary, right? To expose directly, SO and SPC, I guess, will do the job. Right?
Yeah. So we're not exposing really anything directly, and the reason we're including ANDI is after the service instantiation request is fulfilled, if you want to retrieve additional service inventory details, we're allowing that through the service inventory API. Based on the TM form, which will be transformed into requests, queries into ANAI to retrieve the service detail information.
And
we have a separate, so that's why we picked those three as our initial use cases. Now we're going to expand this to include, things like, being able to retrieve, service quality information and other things in the future. But we're, for this first iteration of it, we're just trying to focus on retrieving the catalog information, being able to make a request based on the catalog information, and then just being able to verify that the service is instantiated through the inventory request. So that's our crawl version of what we're trying to do in our initial perspective. And we have this whole, and Ludwig's not here, but we have this whole Northbound API design document, and it has all the details. Right now, we're working on getting the information into the repos, the appropriate repos, so there's a lot of stuff that's based on Swagger in here. There's also stuff based on mainly Swagger for the API definition, and then there's some code that's being put together for the agent piece that's actually responding to these requests and the JSON requests. So that's all stuff that we know we need to get into repos, and we're working on doing that right now.
Hey, Andy, this is Roger from the OOM project. To get your project deployed as part of ONAP, we'll need to work on the appropriate Helm charts for that. So as you develop your content and get it put into Docker containers, can you please reach out and let me know? And then we'll start working on getting you deployed.
Yes, we'll do that. Again, this is not part of the MVP for Beijing, but we are starting our first code release, and whatever we can do to start aligning into being manageable via OOM, that would be useful. So we appreciate any help you can give us, and we'll work with you on that.
And Andy, this is Steve. This is not part of the architecture. This comment's not really part of the architecture review, but just something to think about. You have a document here that you're showing the external sort of APIs and your design approach. And I can imagine that over time you're going to have many more APIs exposed. I guess you're thinking about the sort of separation of this document into two parts. One is the general philosophy and approach that you have. This is how you do an API. And then the specific ones being able to be stacked up separately because they will grow over time.
Yeah, we'll probably end up stacking these up separately. We kind of glommed these three together because it made sense from a use case flow perspective. In that, first the the requester goes to the catalog to retrieve the service model. Then the requester goes and requests, you know, places the order based on that catalog entry. And then they can verify that this service is instantiated through the inventory. So that's kind of the approach that we took here, is that it at least made sense from a story perspective. But I do understand that, you know, we ultimately want to define each of the API components that are a part of external API probably in a separate design document.
Yeah, and having this sort of one document that kind of catches the philosophy of what you're trying to do in general.
Right, the umbrella.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, that's
good point.
Another quick question. So when it comes to service competition, STC does support it. So are we thinking of exposing it, or this is more of being composed outside in the mod and the compose service is being pushed or retrieved, one of the two models?
Yeah, so composition's not as important. We know STC does service composition, right, based on the resource onboarding, et cetera. What the only thing that external systems should be interested in is the requestable services. So ultimately, what's the top level service that can be requested for instantiation? How it's decomposed into the components, it should be a separation of concerns, and it probably should be hidden from the external systems until the actual design decisions are made and the services instantiated. Then you may choose to expose, here's the resources that were provisioned in order to instantiate the service. But we're not really expecting to expose service design details, via the external APIs currently.
Okay.
So again, so it's that end-to-end abstraction. It's the abstraction of what can be requested from a requester, external ONAP requester perspective.
Sure.
Any other questions?
Andy, how about your S3P? How are you doing on those metrics?
Yeah, so I think because we're not MVP, we're not really being held to those, but I think we said that we would try as a stretch goal to do some security on this.
Yeah, I think that even the non-MVP and non-runtime are still being held to security and documentation.
Yeah, documentation, you know, definitely we're going to be getting into we've been working actually with the documentation project on how to document APIs and what documentation is required. I don't think we're going to standardize on that form until Casablanca, but we will be documenting these APIs in Swagger as part of the documentation process.
Great.
And also, when it comes to another question comes to mind, when it comes to different clouds, is the assumption that when I'm working with the ONAP, a particular version, then the supported clouds by that version of ONAP are the only ones I can interact with. Is that the assumption we're going with?
Are you talking southbound from multi-vim?
Southbound of ONAP, say there are different clouds, like say Pure Play OpenStack or, you know, Wind River, Titanium, or VMware, or Azure. Yeah,
So right now we're only dealing with, so external API's vision is to deal with interactions to partner domains as well as perhaps even including types of interactions to multi-cloud through multi-vim and defining those. But currently the scope for Beijing is only on the interaction between DSS, OSS, and ONAP. So it's really focused on that service level abstraction. So the goal is ultimately to identify the resource interactions, perhaps, that are external to ONAP, but currently that's not within the Beijing scope.
Andy, to the Gildas here.
Hey, Gildas.
Do you plan to have some code in Garrett for Beijing?
Yes, we know we need to get code into the repo for Beijing, yes.
Okay.
And Orange is working on that, so we'll make sure we'll have to work with you to get that code.
Yeah. Okay. Over. Okay. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Anything else for Andy? Thank you. Now on to multi-cloud, multi-vim, Xinhui.
Yes. Thanks, Chris. Let me share my screen.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, so let me start from the Amsterdam change. After Amsterdam delivery, actually we don't have, you know, any plan to change the architecture. So based on our, you know, discussion with the different projects and the use case owners, we only identify two functions to support. One is to support the OOF integration for the basic use case. The other one is we will support the HPA, you know, information things. So we will support all these functions as a new API for this release. And for the VoLTE part, no change at all. We will verify about that critical path, but there will be no API to add into or any change to the architecture. And for the stress goal, actually, we identified several things, and such as Bingwu from AT&T's proposed to do the Tosca-based orchestration things to deploy a workload across different clouds. But after discussion with the whole team, we think we need to bring this proposal to the architecture subcommittee. So that's a stress goal. Another stress goal is about integration with Azure. Actually, you know, AT&T and AMDocs already do something and provide the seed code to the community. But we need to review further about the changeover layer. So to keep the deliver quality to the Beijing release. So we decided just now to allocate any Jira to track the progress of a layer. And we will not input the code into the repo. And the third one is about containerized virtual functions. After the discussion and the review meeting with the whole team, quite a few times actually, we think we need to build up some prototype instead of just start the coding. Since actually the code, you know, the proposal scope actually involves many different parts, such as service onboarding, such as service orchestrator, all these things. So the POC will be initial step, and then maybe next release, you know, Casablanca, we can start to create the repo and kick off the normal development about this. So that's the architecture part related to the function extension. And for the S3P support part, actually we have several perspectives to improve. Actually, that's our focus to this release. The first one is the security. Actually, we improve the code coverage. And in the last release, we already implement our own Python code coverage detection toolkit. But in this release, we will integrate it with a Sonar Python scan. And then, reach, 50% bar. So that's what we are going towards that direction. And target, we can finish everything in this week. And the second one is about the logging things. Fairbit is supported by this release, and actually we are trying to propose some, enhancement to the functions, such as provide a Python-based library to help the logging functions, and we do want to, improve the logging functions based on the logging driver provided by Kubernetes in future. So all these things we can keep discussing, and, everything goes well so far. And the next one is about scalability and resilience. Actually, all the microservices provided by the multi-cloud are stateless. So we can definitely leverage the Kubernetes function to do the auto-healing, resilience, and scaling things. But at the same time, we also polish our own design of the microservices. That means we will improve our efficiency and parallelism processing in our own service framework. So that's can be a big change to the multi-way resilience and scalability capabilities. The next one is about usability. Actually, here is one important step for us to move forward towards the model-driven support. That means to improve the usability, we will expose Elastic API for the customers to define their own, Vim functions they want to use, instead of just, expose some fixed API. So that can be treated as a flexible for any use case to customize. And we will use VCPE as a trial release to see if anything we need to improve or, bring up more design polishment in future. And the last one is about performance and scalability. Actually, in this release, we will federate different layers message bus together. That means underlying in the Vim layer, we have OpenStack or different cloud. We will identify the message bus and expose all the events triggered by the Vim into the DMAP. That means app layer on app can identify and collect to know anything happened in the underlying Vim. So we are assuring, this will help the efficiency of the whole on app management. So that's basically the important improvements we will bring up for the S3P improvement. The next one is about the IAM and the DM alignment. Actually, we have two stretch goals. One is about the standardized infrastructure resource information model. Actually, Remke is working on that, and we will discuss with the team and trying to bring up some proposal to the modeling subcommittee over there. And the next one is about the app caps modeling. That's about how to integrate different events, alerts, and notifications, and metrics from different data sources and federate them together. Also, we will collaborate with different companies and different data sources and trying to provide a draft for the modeling subcommittee for further discussion. The last one is about API updates. Actually, as I just said, we only identify several function enhancement release. So we only have two APIs need to change. The first one is the check VM capacity to support the OAuth integration. The other one is about the AI integration, where we will extend our cloud-ready information for the the integration purpose. So that's the only thing we need to change. So that's all my part. Any questions?
Jinhui, on the APIs, do you have plans to document these in Swagger?
Yes, we already have that.
Okay.
Yeah, we can generate automatically.
Thank you. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And with that, we have gone through all the projects that have come forward. So thank you all for your participation, and for all the PTLs, thank you for presenting to us. That wraps up the cycle, and now that we're completing our responsibilities for M3, the architecture team will now be moving forward and focusing on Casablanca starting next week.
Thanks, so Chris.
With that, I'm going to wrap up. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.